Hi, Sue. How are you?
Very well, thanks, Zuleika.
That's good. I'm sure you're looking forward to another exciting year.
Absolutely, and I'm sure you're delighted to be back at school.
Yes, it's fairly easy at this stage because we're quite busy with other things, but, we'll be in the grind soon as it comes closer to exams, but it's good so far.
Lovely. You're doing a lot of sport.
We have our athletics day tomorrow, actually. We've just got back to school on Wednesday and athletics day on Friday, so that's quite soon. So we're talking about skin problems, okay? And the first one that's normally a problem with teenagers and maybe those that are have hormonal upset. Acne due to hormonal upsets as an adult. Why is this happen? And maybe you can give us some advice.
Yes, because, we all know that school children, and they're going through puberty, and due to the hormonal changes in the body, for a short while, especially with males, there's a certain type of testosterone that is only present during puberty to make the changeovers.
Okay.
And those are the teenage guys who then suddenly get these very embarrassing pimples.
Some of them are pussy
due to dihydrotestosterone.
Uh-huh.
And that hormone affects the skin follicle, the hair follicle.
Uh-huh.
And it puts in too much of a substance we call sebum. That's a natural body fat down the hair.
Yes.
And then when that's exposed to the air, it gets infected by bacteria. And that's why it fills up with what we call pus. I don't have to go into details, but it's a terrible stage they go through where it's just what they call zits, right? You know what zits are, everybody?
Yes.
And once the guy then has overcome all the different changes and he's grown bits of hair and whatever is needed in various places, that hormone then stops being active in a male's body, the dihydrotestosterone. Did you know that?
Is it?
It should never, ever appear in anybody else's body at any other time.
Okay.
So, and that's it. But that hormone, because testosterone is also what we call a precursor to estrogen, it can break down into estrogen.
Mm-hmm.
It also causes problems with men when they've got that hormone and it becomes out of bondage. It just degenerates into estrogen. And men then get these man boobs and beer boobs and things like that. It's from too much estrogen. Now, unfortunately, the same thing happens to females.
Mm-hmm.
There is dihydrotestosterone around, and it is normally kept fully in bondage in a female's body. But should something go wrong, the testosterone from there affects the skin, the hair follicles.
Oh.
And the acne comes from that. Again, at puberty, you can understand teenage girls also get pimples, but for different reasons and in a different way. But when a 30-year-old and a 40-year-old woman is saying, I can't stop this, my skin is worse than a teenager, what must I do?
Yes.
We have a problem there, and that is definitely related to the hormone, and we have to somehow track down why the testosterone is doing that and block it and smack it. And we have a very easy way of doing that with the hormone balancing tinctures. The most famous one is called Chasteberry or Agnus Castus. And when you give a female that hormone, it actually mops up the bad testosterone and brings it back into its proper cycle.
Now, they also get acne due to cosmetics individuals are using. Can you elaborate on that? And of course,
that's a big problem, isn't it?
Yes.
When it comes out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
I bought this new face cream and I can't understand why I'm getting pimples. Oh no, but I've always used this product. What has changed? What has gone wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And these days cosmetics contain a lot of mysterious chemicals that can also affect the skin in various ways and cause what we call a comedogenic. You're going to have to get used to this big word.
Yes.
The comedogenic value is a rating from 1 to 5 in terms of can it form a pimple, a boil, a pustule.
Mm-hmm.
Just as the sebum, your natural fats, get blocked up in a pore and then they come to your head, they get infected by bacteria and out comes a pus. That's called comedogenic. It's a much nicer word for it.
Yes.
But there are products, And they're not even fats or greases in themselves that mm-hmm. can do that to you as well. And I remember a very severe case when my niece, she was suffering continuously with these boils and outbursts on her face. And in the end, you know, she said, Auntie Sue, I don't know what to do with it, about all this. And then she was in New Zealand, and I didn't have access to any of my mainstays. Mm. So I said, well, you know what? Show me your cosmetic bag. Mm-hmm. And she's one of these ladies who buys, you know, everything of the best, and the more expensive it is, the better you're going to look when it's on your face. Mm-hmm. So she brought me all of it. But this is such a good brand, Auntie Sue. Look at this one. Now I use this, and I use a bit of blusher, and now I only use this routine. And, I've just changed now, and I've upgraded. I had a facial, and they gave me these products to use, and now I've broken out in acne. So we've left you with the notes on the website, and anybody who suspects it's something that you're putting on your face that is doing this, you're going to have to read those horrible little labels. Mm-hmm. What you can also do is take a picture of it with your cell phone and then show it back to yourself, and you can enlarge until you see all those little words. Mm-hmm. And the worst ones are natural ingredients, mind you, like lanolin and cocoa butter, coconut butter. Those are very comedogenic. They are pore blocking. They may be claimed to be fantastic natural moisturizers, but on the comedogenic scale of 1 to 5, they score a 4 or a 5. That's okay. Like 80% likely to cause a problem with you. If they don't cause a problem with you, lucky you. You know, some people can put coconut oil on their face or with cocoa butter or something, and they get away with it. Other people cannot. There's also a genetic predisposition.
Okay.
So, you know, lucky you if it doesn't, unlucky you if it does. Find out what it is doing. The other thing that you'll see on some of these bio oils, you know, these bio oils with vitamin E and everything else, is a chemical they put in there to help the oil flow better on your skin.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you put on a foundation base makeup.
Yeah.
And it just glides on and it just makes a satin finish.
Mm-hmm.
If you get an acne and you're using one of those products, tissue oil or a foundation, look down the list and you will find something called isopropyl myristate.
Okay.
And then there's a lot of different variations on that name, but anything with a isopropyl or a palmitate or a stearate or a neopeptinate or a myristinate, be careful.
Okay.
And the lists are on my book. And you can also Google for comedogenic ratings. You can do that right now if you want to have a look. Anybody who's listening, you will see that product. And what it does is it is so free-flowing that it actually flows into your pores and it pushes all the oil onto your face.
Mm-hmm.
It's an oil that I use to loosen all the door locks, you know, like Q20 that you spray.
Yes.
It actually was originally used for that, and then I started to see when you put it in a cosmetic, it helps to emulsify and work with all the other oils to just make it glide onto your skin.
Mm-hmm.
So watch out for that one. I had a very bad incident, and the reason I found out about it was this girl was working in a cosmetic factory.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly her skin, all the oil just peeled off her face, and she had these big white blotchy patches on her skin.
Mm-hmm.
The white, peely, flaky, but red and inflamed. I said, hang on, you're busy making bio oil in this factory. Why the hell is your skin like that?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I discovered about this. But it is common knowledge that it is highly, highly comedogenic.
Okay.
It's about 80 to 90% likely to cause a problem. Then there's another one in the, what they call surfactants, things that help to make body, you know, facial washes and facial scrubs that contain lauric acid.
Okay.
And the worst ones there are called Lauric 4, Lauric 23, and Oleus. Terribly horrible. And Cetoarate, I'm just reading this 20. They are dreadful, dreadful, notorious for pushing oil out of your pore and it backfires onto your face. And because your skin says, ooh, I'm super dry, it starts to produce more and more oil.
Okay.
So when you see that there's oily, dry, and normal skins, go read the ingredients, Suleika.
Yes.
The simplest way, the basic rule is to keep the thing as simple as possible. And the most simple and the best things would be your sesame oil. Your Kalinji seed oil is a perfect skin doctor in its own right. And even sunflower oil, things that people look down upon, like mineral oil, you know, Johnson's baby oil.
Yeah.
And sunflower oil, you know what the comedogenic rating is on those two? How dangerous they are. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely zero.
The baby, okay.
So that's something to take note of. It's not all about the glossy advertising magazines and all the models who have about six layers of base foundation stick over their faces and then they've been photoshopped. That's not how you sell these products. You should see some of these models when they're being stripped of all their makeup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have to have go through a heavy Photoshop session if they want to appear on a selfie.
So the Accutane that the doctors prescribe, I'm sure that's also not too...
Yes. I don't know if you know anybody who's on Accutane or Roaccutane.
Mm-hmm.
Roaccutane.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't solve the problem. I've seen girls on this stuff and they get very, very ill. It's got very nasty side effects. And it doesn't cure the problem because the problem's been caused by something else. So a lot of these products that they give for the skin, in fact, also contain nasty ingredients. And so you have to be sure that you get one that's got a good track record. And even some of the best products may not be suited to you.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some that they reckon, you know, are all right, but I still wouldn't put half of them on my face. You know, they are known to be comedogenic, especially the Retin A cream and the High Tone and the Desquam X and the Xerac. These are trademarks. They are comedogenic. And also jojoba oil. It's a natural thing. It doesn't have a comedogenic rating from the list I saw that was too bad. But it resembles sebum. And what is sebum? That's a natural oil in your skin. So if you've got a hormone upset, the jojoba, natural pure jojoba oil, may be your trigger in that. It's hard to find out what is really to blame. But the easiest way is to get off everything and then just work yourself back to the safest things you can lay your hands on. You know, there's nothing wrong with rubbing cucumber on your skin or a bit of lemon juice or the natural things. Yogurt, or I don't know what else can you suggest, sunflower oil.
Sue, the reason why I thought about asking you about skin problems, there's a friend of mine whose mum normally works in the garden, and she came out with big blisters, very, very, you know, something that was on her hand, and then her whole body seemed to be having these... call it? Some form of rash, but it's quite painful.
You know, what we can explain there, you're explaining an allergic reaction, a lot of histamine in the skin and inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
And because she was working in the garden, it may not mean that something came from the garden.
Mm-hmm.
It could be that she was working in the sun.
Uh-huh.
And some of these ingredients are photosensitive. Some uh-huh. of the natural things, even bergamot oil,
uh-huh.
it can cause a photosensitive reaction in somebody.
Uh-huh.
So during the day inside, it's fine. During the day out in the garden, it can be a flare-up. I know somebody who has a photosensitive problem like that. But it's very, very, very rare. And it's only really with a concentrated essential oil that you put on your skin that it could do that.
I don't think she's had any essential oils. She's a fairly elderly lady, and she's loves the garden and never ever had a problem. But she suddenly came out with this,
something she touched all.
But then it has spread through. It was started in the hands, and then it's moved on to other parts of the body, and it's fairly painful.
Well, it was with her hands, and she was touching plants, and she was weeding.
Mm-hmm.
I know something that does that, and that is a stinging nettle.
Mm-hmm.
And if she doesn't know what a stinging nettle is, I don't know if you've ever touched a stinging nettle.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 1,000 bee stings.
Okay.
They're little needles on minute microscopic needles on the little hairs that are like needles with a little ball of like a toxin, mm-hmm. a neurotoxin, whatever. It's a poisonous chemical on the tip of them. So when you brush your hand past a stinging nettle, you'll know all about it. It's ouch, ouch, ouch.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, the best remedy for something like that is the homeopathic version, which is called urtica urens. That is a stinging nettle. They make a remedy from that to counteract that stinging and burning and rash. The other thing you can take is an antihistamine. It would help.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of vitamin C, lots of water. Or you can just make a paste of bicarbonate of soda or cornstarch and put it onto the lesions. But fortunately, it's unusual, but unfortunate for the person who has it. It's not easy.
Yeah.
I hope it resolved itself.
No, it isn't. She is going to be going to a skin specialist, but I just thought I always prefer the natural way.
It's quite scary, but you can take more vitamin C, more antihistamines.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the most anti-inflammatory things you can do is take a rooibos tea bag,
mm-hmm.
soak it in water, and use the rooibos tea. It's brilliant for that.
Mm-hmm.
And, I would grab something gentle like olive oil or sunflower oil if the skin's getting dry.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's burning red all the time,
mm-hmm.
you have to take an antihistamine.
Okay.
And you can get generic ones. They're not expensive.
Okay.
Take antihistamines in the meantime.
Mm-hmm.
And probably by the time she gets to the skin flesh, they say, well, what were you talking about?
Yes, yes.
But if the wound has popped open and got infected, then that's another story.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with animals, you find this, you know, when they have a lesion, they can't stop scratching it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it gets infected.
I
hope she comes right.
Yeah, I hope so. Sue, briefly on eczema, ringworm, psoriasis, anything you can tell us about that?
Well, Mother Nature's got very good natural ingredients for that sort of thing, and especially with eczema. At home, if you've got meat tenderizer in your kitchen,
mm-hmm.
that actually helps take off the scales of the skin. If you mix up meat tenderizer with a bit of sunflower oil, even.
Mm-hmm.
But there are products that do contain all the right herbal extracts and the propolis from beeswax and honey and papaya enzymes, all that sort of thing together, and that helps with eczema, rough skin, psoriasis, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you haven't got access to anything and you do have eczema and you want to wash your face with something that's safe, there's nothing wrong with taking some honey.
Yes.
We had a young lady with very bad female hormonally related eczema and acne, and her skin was awful. And again, she'd used the most expensive line products and she was in this condition. And I said, just put it all aside now gently, go and get some oatmeal, and mix it with honey and make a nice paste, leave it on your face, rinse it off. And you know, it worked. Our natural stuff, our simple natural stuff, works far better than these complicated things with all additives.
Yes. generally, also, there's an internet quote that you have, the thing it said, herbs don't cure acne, but they do help in the short term. The acne is an internal booster for the body and can produce some pretty fast and impressive acne clear up. But the effects are short lived, and you say, talk about the olive leaf, and know that is your favorite. So if the olive leaf helps with acne, would it help with something like psoriasis? Or
It helps in that it contributes to the local immunity.
Mm-hmm.
It also helps in that it's a very strong antimicrobial,
yes.
and antioxidant. So there again, go pick your olive leaves and grind them into a paste. But all the tinctures and the herbal concoctions that I develop for skin problems, they'll always have olive leaf in them. They will always have rooibos tea. And there are other herbs. Calendula, if you can buy calendula tea leaves, that is a beautiful skin remedy. And in the notes, I didn't include the other nice resource we have on our website, and that is to look at the homeopathic remedies,
mm-hmm.
the tissue salts, and also what they call the Bach remedies. And you'll find in some cases the skin only erupts when somebody's in an emotional state,
mm-hmm.
or they've just had a cold or something and the cold's getting better, then the skin disrupts. But homeopathically, there's a lot you can do with a problem skin. If your skin is too dry, then you can take the tissue salt called MacMur, for instance. I know it's a simple salt, but it's been potentized to an effect that in the body it registers and it goes and it changes your water balance.
What did you say the name is, a tissue salt?
N-A-T-M-U-R. That's the long word. It's the scientific word is natrum muricatum.
Okay.
And the English word is salt.
Okay.
But NatMur is a remedy that balances water in your body. Now, somebody may have a dry skin or a dry face, but oily skin elsewhere. They may be constipated. They may have hay fever. Or a sinus problem.
Yeah.
All those things relate to water balance imbalances in the body.
Okay.
And often you'll find with skin, when you look at skin as a homeopath,
yeah,
it's a window to the inside of the body.
Okay.
And a lot of these things will actually display themselves on the skin, so you can't always work topically.
Yes, that's what I also feel something in time. Yes. Would that NatNer be suitable for someone that's pregnant?
The tissue salts are quite safe.
Mm-hmm.
But go to the health shop and ask them. Mm-hmm. Because pregnant women do get all sorts of other problems, and they also get this pigmentation.
Yes.
Don't worry about that. It will go away. I promise mm-hmm. you. It's called stress cap. It
okay.
goes with the whole pregnancy. It's adrenal hormonal changes, and too much tyrosine, I think it is. But mm-hmm. all that goes away once the whole birth takes place and the baby's growing up. Those things do fade. And I don't know about the old wives' tales who don't care about lemon juice, lemon juice, lemon juice. It'll fix every bit of skin pigmentation, even at our age. I'm not so sure about it. But
yes.
You know, when you put lemon juice on cotton wool and you really believe it's going to take that spot away, then why shouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same as when you buy a very expensive cosmetic. It usually works.
Yes.
But I say first, read the label. And it's not a case of the more you spend that you're going to get a better product.
Yes, you need to see what's in
there. There may be something in your kitchen right now that's going to solve your problems. So go and look at your oatmeal. You know, you can put the oatmeal into a little cloth and tie it and you mix it with hot water until all the cream comes out. And
mm-hmm.
you scrub your face with that. That, I think, is the safest thing you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And then just work slowly out from there what else you can add, maybe a little bit of almond oil. If there's anything that is getting infected, then go and buy the black seed oil, the Kalunji oil.
Yes.
And that will kill any infection.
Okay.
Kill anything except death, as we say.
Yes, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said that the Kalunji oil is a treatment for
anything
except death.
And so it's not only the little black seeds. Mm-hmm. But you can buy the oil. It's about 90 rand a little bottle.
Yes.
And that stuff is worth gold. And particularly, and listen very carefully, you know, the sunshine in South Africa is very harsh. And some people do get skin cancer on exposed areas like the tops of the ears or wherever. And you get this condition called solar keratosis.
Mm-hmm.
That's when skin is damaged and it starts replicating beyond people's control. In other words, it's cancer.
Yes.
Or precancerous. The cells are dividing faster than they should. And you get these sort of little pieces of red, weepy, little thicker parts on your skin. And when you rub it, it sort of rubs off, but it bleeds underneath, and then the crusts form again and again and again.
Mm-hmm.
If that's happening to you, you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
First, try Kalunji oil before you go and see a cancer specialist or have it cut out or burnt out. I give you the Kalunji challenge.
Okay.
On anything that you think is precancerous or anything you're worried about.
Mm-hmm.
And I say,
so you suggest drinking it or just applying it?
Just, well, drink it as well. I mean,
yes.
You do the inside-outside treatment.
Yeah.
But I have found on lesions like that, on animals or other people,
mm-hmm.
put it on every morning, rub it on and appreciate where it's coming from and who told you to do it.
Yes.
It's not me.
Yes, of course. And I mean, it's...
Yes. I mean, this is what we're told to use.
Yes.
And the reason is because it works.
Yes, yes.
But it works better if you pay the respect.
Yes.
Put it on in the morning and say, this is getting better.
Yes.
Put it on during the day and at night. Now, the first day you may not see any difference. Yeah. The next day you may not see any difference. But keep doing it. And a week later you say, wow.
Yes.
Just look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can make a poultice.
Yeah.
You'll know what a poultice is.
Yes. Using kulenji oil and what else?
You could mix it with a bit of corn flour or powder or anything, a paste. Yeah. Make a paste and then put a piece of plaster over it and then let it just sit there over.
Yes.
You know,
Even turmeric is supposed to be very good.
It is good. It really is good. We use it in our first aid cream.
Yeah.
And that I put in and out of infected wounds and on top of them and rubbed it everywhere. And it really does stop the infections.
And while
it's antibacterial and antiviral and antifungal.
Okay. So we'll have to say goodbye. Time has
flown again.
But we'll be chatting soon.
And thank you for this opportunity. I hope that the lady is working in the garden. I hope she's not allergic to gardening.
She's been doing it for many years. I think she's over 70. So we pray that she gets complete shifa. That's the Arabic word for complete cure.
Alhamdulillah. Wish her well, but, you know, there is no harm in trying kulenji.
Yes. Thank you so much for your advice. God bless.
Thank you. And people can go to our website, www.naturefresh.co.za. They can get hold of this paper that we've been reading from about all the different things you can do for your skin, and they can listen to us chatting about it.
Okay. Thank you so much again.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.